only want to say one thing. To the charge that there was no balance, I want you to bear in mind that time and time again, this radio station gave other people the opportunity to bring the balance. There was a policy position taken, it appeared to me, by some people that they wanted in some way to give the impression that we were far more lacking in balance and bias than we were, and therefore they decided that they were not going to come here to put their case. How can we be blamed for that? In addition to that, people like you and other supporters of the Democratic Labour Party hammered us on CBC every morning and then got the opportunity to come here and to interact with us as you desired. So I do not accept and I completely reject your notion that we have demonstrated this bias. There was a deliberate attempt by people like you and some other people associated with the Democratic Labour Party to set us up that way, but we did not fall for it.
If you all, and this is what I'm saying, here am I fighting to discuss. I'm not going to be calling you a lot, so you wouldn't have to repeat that and tell me I'm a supporter, where I am not. I'm not a supporter, nor am I a member. And you yourself know I have sat with you and criticized the Democratic Labour Party. I've done it at CBC. But the point is, here am I fighting to get my point at every, because you were waiting three times. They told me you were calling. I hear. You were waiting.
Yeah, I was waiting to hear from you because I thought you'd gone away.
Covering and hiding. I don't care. What I care about, David Ellis and Dennis Johnson, is I am worried. I am worried about where the press has taken us. I have never seen it like this. Can I be permitted to express my view? My view, just state what I have to say. Without interruption, I'll hold on if you want to interact. But every time you interrupt me, I'm not allowed. Then it seems as though I'm on for a long, long time. All I'm saying to you is when we called, I found, like, if I called and if other callers called to give another view, they were constantly interrupted. Same thing like what was happening, thrown off, all this sort of thing. You all need to reassess, just as the Democratic Labour Party need to look at where they would have gone wrong. I am suggesting that Voice of Barbados and the nation. I was disturbed. I have listened to the station from Ready Fusion, and I have listened to it with Gary Drewsbury, Julian Rogers, all of them. And I have, the last couple of years were extremely worrying to me. I don't care if the Democratic Labour Party get criticism. I am not part of the party. What I found was no balance. And when you said I keep going back to the BLP, what I wanted was from the Owen Atta administration, I would have been satisfied if we can examine that. We never fully examined it. Look at the Owen Atta administration, what went wrong there, cost of runs, etc. Move on to the DLP, examine what went wrong, and then when the opposition came in and they said things that we could contradict, be able to show up where they were wrong. That didn't happen. I am speaking about the 1 million, and then I'll make one other point.
Ma'am, I want to tell you, hold on again. You see, I unfortunately, and I know you tell me I keep interrupting you, but in the interest of being fair, I have to. I sat here as a moderator of this program, and you and I had numerous conversations about the expansion of the ABC highway and the insistence there was cost overruns. I went out of my way to question it over and over. These records will show because the station has to keep them. I received a disc with what was supposedly a change in the scope of works of the ABC highway in an effort to refute that it was cost overruns. When I looked at it, I sat here and I said, if you're going to have an expansion project that does not include lights, that does not include emergency shoulders and the rest, the people who came to this decision should all resign. This station got a call from a member of the government who said to them that Dennis Johnson say that the whole government should get fired and that I should be sued or taken off the air. So when you talk about questioning things that was done by the Arthur administration, I sat here and got licks for it. When the Arthur administration came into office and I was told about selling out and going to the pine because I was whoever's mouthpiece, I said, once I sit here and anything has to be asked, call me the leader of the opposition because I will ask. So that's another accusation that I cannot allow to let go, Dennis, because you've had those conversations with me.
Dennis, I had conversation with you as to where, I never forget it. I remember my conversations with you well. I had conversation with you saying, Dennis, why are they going to spend all this money on in areas that are not productive? I don't know if you remember that conversation, but I remember having that conversation with you. We were discussing that. This whole question about what you got on a disc, I have not heard. I'm going back again to the fact that the media, which constantly was talking about how big the last government was, fair enough, but here you have 30 ministers. You have an ambassador in finance, Clyde Maskell. You have a consultant in finance, Avinash Prasad. You have Billy Miller, Ms. Dame Billy Miller, another consultant. Why are we going there? What are their salaries? Transparency would demand that we need to know at a time of financial stress, what are the salaries and why we need to have those persons. And this is what I want to say. The $1 million that was carried in June 4th Nation newspaper does not conveniently just multiply the salaries of ministers by the numbers. It does not include. Every minister must get a secretary. It must get a clerical staff, which would include administrative officers. And when I did my research, I'm told that could be level one and two. Those are the people who prepare the cabinet paper. He will get a permanent secretary, a personal assistant. Now, the personal assistant will get over $6,000 per month. When you add this and you multiply it by the ministers, you multiply a driver messenger, you multiply office space, you must multiply stationery. That has to be changed to do that. I am saying let's be fair, and I'm just trying to show bias. Now, the whole question of the people, and I'm saying to people listening, think before you run with these issues that are being raised. Corruption, corruption, and people up in a frenzy. Corruption, send them to jail, lock them up, do this, take away the pension. Now, as soon as the last government went away, the Nation newspaper had a big article saying, the loser's big fat pension. Look how they look at it, but look how they carry the article for the big cabinet. It's only going to cost $1 million a year, which is wrong. Then, remember when we had all the downgrades and downgrades and downgrades listed? Every time a downgrade came up, it was on the front page. But when the first downgrade came, what did we have on the Sunday Sun front page? Right move. The Prime Minister gets support from going to the IMF. And finally, the whole question of corruption. I kept saying, if there's corruption in the last administration, the one before it, and if there's going to be corruption in this government, expose it. But I was listening to hear what this big corruption was all about. And this is what the corruption was about. Not somebody, they haven't said anything about anybody stealing money or anything funny. Friday, June 1st newspaper, following is a list of contracts and concessions which Prime Minister Motley claimed were arranged after Parliament dissolved. I need to ask one question to this government. Is it the first time that government have done extensions close to election date? My information is telling me no, it was done under previous administration, including BLP administration. The second thing is I list the most egregious, Ms. Motley words, is the $330,000 in approval for a Mercedes-Benz coupe for director of sales for Hyatt. Okay, fine. She has an objection to that. Fine. I could understand that. But where is the corruption?
Ma'am, look, let's terminate this conversation, okay? Because, again, because people claim there was corruption, and because they have made those comments online, wherever, social media, wherever, why are you linking what the Prime Minister had an issue with people's cause? You making it seem as though she is saying that's what it is. I can't allow that. I cannot. Keep telling people, have a chat with a few of the QCs. They got plenty of them around, on both sides of the fence and some independent ones, as to what innuendo means. This is down to brass tacks. Right. Brass tacks, I'm told that I now have Ronnie on the line. Ronnie D., good morning to you.
Good morning to you, sir. I am sad at this point in time. Ronnie D. Davis here calling from the National Cultural Foundation, just calling to express my condolences and deepest sympathy to the wife and family of Charles Smith, who we all know as Calypsonian Romeo. And also to add that this one really hits home, because it was only last Friday when I took a guitar back to my cousin Mike Seeley that I saw Romy park in Mike's driveway. And we chatted for a while, and of course he was happy to be driving around a little Jeep. His son had only given him the keys that morning around 5 o'clock, he told me. So he was happy to be driving around his wife and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was then that I had no alternative but to admit to him that it was his style of phrasing and so on which helped me over the many years I would have performed in the hotel circuit, and also encouraged me to become a Calypsonian. Romeo always welcomed you with that loving smile. And in my opinion, he would go down in history as one of the best Calypsonians Barbados has ever seen and ever listened to. Again, I want to express my deepest sympathy and to assure that everyone that his memory will live on as long as we are alive. Again, my deepest sympathy to Charles and his family.
Ronnie, I have to join you in extending my condolences as well, and to join you in the tribute you've paid to Romy. Romy is one of these big-hearted people that once you've come into contact with him, you couldn't miss the heart.
You were so right.
He had a way of embracing you first with a smile. Then when you got closer to him, he'd actually give you the real hug, as you said. And there was always a sort of cheerfulness to his voice.
Even when he was hurting,
even when he was sad, there was an absence of animosity that I really enjoyed in my conversations with him.
Yeah, and what touched me, though, he said, when he was about to leave, he said, you know, I really came here only to say hello to Mike for a few seconds because I want to take my wife all over Barbados in this new ride. And then, out of the blue, I don't know where it came from, just sudden so, Romeo said, okay, guys, it is time that we hold hands. Mike, you know what to do. And Mike said one of the, I've never heard anyone in many years prayed like that. Mike said a prayer. And Romeo said, I now feel at ease. I'm now extremely happy. Mike, thanks for the prayer. That was one of the best. You have given me many over the years, but that's the best time I've ever heard you praying. And then he drove off. And that is why I said earlier that this one really hits home, because, you know, to think that out of all the, amidst all the joy and us chatting about Calypso and where it came from and so on, out of the blue, just to hear him say, guys, let's pray.
Let's pray, yeah.
Yeah, you know. So, again, my deepest sympathy, and we look forward to hearing some of his songs in the near future.
Look forward to it as well, and thank you.
Thank
you,
for
Ronnie.
Having me on.
It's good to hear from you. Yeah, in the midst of it all, we have to remember our humanity. Folks, I want to say this. I've sat in the Brass Tacks chair for 24 years. And over that period of time, we've had contributions from people who have been passionate about what they believe in. They've had exchanges with the moderators that from time to time have been antagonistic. There are times that have been strident. We've had moderators walk out of the chair. Moderators have disagreed with each other. The level of personal snipes that accompany contributions and incitement to get people off the air is not what this program is about. As a moderator, I do not like it. As a producer, I like it even less. So when people suggest, even in jest, that I should lose a call, I don't behave in that manner. So you have to put up with my human failings, but they're there. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson. How are you this morning?
I am good, sir, and you?
I am fine. First, I would have just heard about the passing of Romeo. I would like to give my condolences to his family as well, because we would have been at school together. And so, and I know the guy, know who he is, and I would like to give them my condolences as well. Mm-hmm. My contribution to the program this morning, I'm somewhat taken aback about what would have been sick, and I didn't know that you and David and the moderators at POB would be so much responsible, or the media would have been responsible for what happened in the last election.
It's the power of the press.
I believe that it needs that what people need, instead of trying to blame people for what the failings of their party or their government as they might have seen it, what they need to do is to learn from the lesson of the defeat that they might have had. Because what would have happened in that last election, I am sure that there's lessons for all of us to learn. And rather than we try to look at and find to pull out from this present administration in a few days to what is doing, I think they need to sit back and ask themselves some questions and reach the final stage of saying where what would have went wrong with the last administration, which is one of the lessons for us to learn. And that lesson is that the people of Barbados, they are not the ones that will become violent, they won't think, but they will make up their minds, and when they have to do what they have to do, they will do it, regardless to who you are. And therefore, that was the failing of the last administration, because they failed to understand that they were the servants of the people and not the masters. and until the members and supporters of the Democratic Labour Party understand that, we will still have some of them behaving like the first and the third call. Who would like to blame Dennis Johnson? Who would like to blame David Ellis, rather than blaming the people who are responsible, who was the world government of the day?
So sometimes people are afraid to tell their friends that I do not like what you have done. And if I can't tell my friend I don't like what you have done, I can't see how I could tell anybody else. I remember in the midst of his most challenging period, Sir Lloyd Standiford said, "Lord, show me my friends, my enemies I could take care of." And a lot of people, you know, picked that up. One of the most touching times for me was one day standing in a supermarket, and a young lady I did not know walked up to me and said, "You're Dennis Johnson?" I kind of hesitated and I said, "Yes." She said, "I always wanted to meet you to tell you thank you." And I said, "For what?" She said, "You were one of the few people who treated my father fairly." And I said, "Your father is?" She said, "I'm Erskine Sandiford's daughter." It meant a lot to me, because Sir Lloyd, I've said things on the radio as a moderator, and I would get a message when I came off here to call Sir Lloyd, as he was then Erskine Sandiford. And he would say to me, "Today on the program you said the government debt was so, 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 so. I want you to check A, B, C, D and see it was so, so, so." He was never contentious. He ain't curse me. He ain't say, you. No threats. Calmly, quietly, Sir Lloyd said, "Check." And if I checked and it was correct, I came, I sat down here and said, "I had said so and so, here's the information I have." So when people behave in that manner, you treat them in the manner in which they treat you. It's called mutual respect. And we need to learn that.
And
don't allow power and authority to go to our heads.
That is the thing that is still puzzling me today. And I will say to the members of this new government to sit back as well and examine these things. Because Barbadians, I can remember speaking to a number of young people during the campaign, and the things that they would have said to me leave me somewhat breathless. And believe me, the people in Barbados today, they are thinking, they are paying attention to the things that are going on around them, and do not believe that you would have come to them today and tell them and promise the A, the L, and the 11 star, mm-hmm. and then come back later on. Stick to your people. Let them understand when you can do. Let them know you will do when you cannot say you can't.
Agreed.
Be honest and straightforward with them. And do not give them the opportunity to treat you like they did the Democratic Labour Party and see yourself as the servant of the people and not the masters of the people. And that is the message I will send to the Democrat, the Barbados Labour Party government, and ask them to think of those things.
Okay.
Do not fall victim of the same thing.
Agreed. Thank you, sir. Brass Sacks, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir.
I was going to ask you how you doing, but I changed my mind.
I am very all right, sir. Trust me. I sleep well at night and I'm all right.
I've been laughing for the first caller and then the second one coming. Listen to me.
Man, why are you laughing at me, man?
Listen.
I just give your fellas enough jokes now.
Okay. I was going to ask, I had an issue, right, to talk about. But since that, this whole thing going this road, I'm going to look for knowledge. So, as they say, you are the person, something to speak to. So, listen to this. You said you read a book that Mr. Nasser have loaned to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the dictators, right?
Yeah, it's still at the front. That's here for him to collect, by the way. Yes.
Listen to me. So you will be knowledgeable. No, because don't misunderstand what I'm going to ask first.
Mm.
Right? So can this happen? Can a country be led into dictatorship without the countrymen, because of the situation, be led into and not knowing it happening to them?
It has happened on several occasions in history, sir. People elect dictators.
Correct. Good. Now, next one.
In my humble opinion.
There's a reason why I asked that, right?
Mm.
Because some people could also mistake help, genuine help, for dictatorship because all hands are clapping together. That could happen too?
Well, let me put it this way. Most dictators did not come to power without an opposition. They became dictators with an opposition in place. So it doesn't make a difference as to how many hands are clapping together or not.
Okay,
dictators,
good.
Dictators emerge because things.
I was even looking at it that way.
Well, I want you to. I want you
for
to.
Real,
I want you to. Listen, the other thing I always tell people that they should observe is this, right?
Uh-huh.
Poor people, the quote-unquote oppressed, don't lead revolutions, you know.
Correct.
They're struggling too hard to be able to lead.
Yes.
Revolutions are usually led by well-heeled middle-class people
yes.
who claim they have a feeling or sometimes do have a feeling
yes.
the for the oppressed.
People. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, you said opposition. Mm. I mean, even thinking about that. So.
You should.
Listen, but I'm glad you, okay, as I said, knowledge, right? And there's things you write in front, you don't realize it. So, next question, when is an opposition not an opposition?
When what they do amongst the nothing, that's the only time.
Okay, good. So, in other words, right, you are actually saying to me that if I have baked or rolled dough, remember, all the dough is together, and they put it in the oven to bake. If I take out all the dough that was baked and pull apart 3/4 of that dough and left a quarter only, all is the same dough, right?
No. No. And I'll tell you why. You see, sir, what you call about knowledge and you call about knowledge.
Yeah, go ahead.
There was a time when Barbadians went to the polls and elected a government. And elected when the government sat in the chamber, because the chamber does not recognize parties. Chamber recognized representatives of the people. That's what they call members of parliament, Representation of the People Act. On one side, you had three members, Owen Arthur, Henry Ford, and David Simmons. No Sir David, no Sir Henry. And Owen Arthur is still Mr. Owen Arthur, Right Honorable, has that title for life. Somewhere during the course of that parliament, Richard Christopher Haynes, doctor, now sir, Edgar Ginger Bourne, Peter Miller, and the fourth gentleman whose name always slips me. I think he's now the deputy in the House of Assembly, the deputy, his name is going to come back to me. Richard Beyer had to focus his face there for me. Those four gentlemen had a disagreement with the people they sat alongside, went across to the other side of the aisle and sat down and became the official opposition because four was greater than three. So we had two opposition parties in Parliament. Mm. Now, the four people were once part of that door that you talked about.
Yes.
But they did not like how the risings
were going.
So while they may have been of the same dough, they were no longer the same bread. One was leavened bread and one was unleavened bread, although they were cut from the same. Because, you see, sir, and it comes back to the reason why I'm always harping on the fact that we have to understand how government work and the fact that you do the parliament for a reason. The Constitution does not recognize parties. And one of the problems I had with the proposed amendment that thankfully did not go through was to amend the Constitution to mention party, because I do not like parties. I don't even like fets.
Got you covered.
And there's a reason why the Constitution, in its wisdom at the time, does not
recognize
parties.
Yeah.
Because sometimes four fellas could get together and have a fete and call it a party.
Yeah. Okay, let me end with this, right? Uh-huh. When I first called, I was going to see you, but I didn't know who you would have taken it. I would have asked first, it's an addition, and then you turn it up higher.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would have went on to ask, do you believe it, my friend brought two eggs in there and asked you to get it from the seat and crack it after we would get a sunny side up egg. He says it in the heat. Listen to me, right? Listen to me.
You know, I enjoy my conversations with you.
Listen, the last part, now I'm going to ask you this. Mm-hmm. You don't have to answer, but I'm going to ask you.
Uh-huh.
If you happen to see anything at all, you see something looking like what you have read in any of those books, would you come to the fore and say anything, or would you resign from the position you are in right now?
Sir, I will come to the fore. No, I will answer you, sir, because I have a very clear conscience. I tell you, sir, if I see a situation arising that even reflects anything that I've come across, I will not only say that I see it, I will say why I said so, and if the station wants to part company with me, they're free to do so too, sir.
Goody for you, and thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Yeah, good.
You see, unfortunately, I believe that I will survive. You know, until, like Romy, I get a big call. People worry too much about the things in life that you shouldn't worry about. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, my brother.
Another man smiling. I like smiling people. Smiling people are good. Yes, sir.
it's said by those who are perhaps wiser that it helps to reduce stress and change, induces endorphins, is that what it is?
That's what it is, endorphins, yeah. They're supposed to keep you healthy.
I would just make a quick comment before I go on to my main point. The familiar voice of the lady with the Trinidadian voice, she's come onto the program after a contribution I made when the Democratic Party launched their Waterford campaign, and I talked about the behavior. To misrepresent what I said regarding the use of the a metaphorical word, and when I said that, you know, it could talk about chores and stuff like that, and she misrepresented that and implied that I was
Remember that.
So and she never came back in that admin. So I don't know the credibility in terms of things she said, and she had latitude, I would say, today on VOB. I must say there's a award given by the for Nobel Peace. I would say the P, I would change the P for patience where VOB is concerned, because stuff that was said on your station today would not have been tolerated on the other station in the plane.
And That's sad. Because you lose your objectivity when you allow perceived biases to just go on and on. Yeah.
I just end this here as far as she's concerned. I'm surprised. I mean, I remember her saying that she was asking Miss Morley to come and tell the people you know, to answer the questions and tell the people what she's going to do. Did you listen to the Trump speech?
I have a copy of it right next to me.
I am surprised that none of her questions today related. I mean, if you wanted to know what Miss Morley was intending, and I mean, clearly the amount of stuff that's there, but she no such question, no such question. That surprises me. Well, shouldn't really. Anyhow,
tell me,
my brother. I want to deal with. I mean, it's interesting that you mentioned the roads and the highway and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And,
one of your pet projects and mine. Yes, sir.
Yes, I may need some assistance if I'm going to make any attempts to represent.
You should. You should. I think you should.
I am giving it some serious thought, and so don't be surprised if I call on you for assistance.
No problem. I will provide it if I can. I give you that promise.
Yeah, fair enough.
You've been fair to me when I've asked the question. You've sent me drawings and all, so I can support you. Yes, sir.
Fair enough. Yeah, I would say that I am looking at what's being presented with regards to the plans to take this country forward, and I must say that I'm impressed with what it's a mammoth task, and I believe that what I noticed the Prime Minister has been doing is asking for Barbados to assist, you know, get on board to do your part and assist. Mm-hmm. And how we can, you know, make this country better and build it out. And I'm optimistic. I must say I have great optimism in terms of how the ability and the capacity for Barbados to move in a new direction. And we can together, I believe we can really take this country forward. And I trust the fourth estate. I don't have a negative view of it like the lady does. I believe that, you know, you all would help in terms of that assignment and you know, keeping on track and stuff like that and keeping Barbadians abreast and letting us see and any proposals and stuff that is presented to assist in getting it out there and together I believe we can do it.
Well, sir, I want to tell you that there are two things that, and I did mention when I started that it is a very challenging program that has been outlined for the government in the throne speech yesterday. Mm-hmm. The second thing is this. To do almost all of the things proposed in the throne speech is going to require, first and foremost, the correct assignment and accountability of your finances. To me, that is crucial.
Yeah.
It has to be done, which is why I said the first thing I wrote on the piece of paper that was sitting next to me during the throne speech was question number one, when will the estimates be adjusted?
Yeah.
And as I said, I found out yesterday that we'll have a mini budget presented on Monday, and I presume that's the reason. And I also said that once the IMF consultations are through, I anticipate we'll have another. Because if the government has promised that they will be updating the public and engaging the public, those things are crucial. The second part is prioritizing what you do. Because
sequence.
And the third part of it that's equally crucial is how do you handle emergencies? Because what has transpired in the recent past, and it is one of the failings of the way we seem to want to be governed, which is if we support the party in power, whatever they do is well done, we just applaud and don't ask any questions, or else we're going to put you on a surfboard and send you off to sea somewhere off Sandy Lane, okay?
That wouldn't be happening from my hand, brother.
But, you know, so my question is, if you have a plan laid out, this is what you're going to do, this is how we're going to do it, and then something like the South Coast or the other sewage breakdown, how do you deal with it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because there will be emergencies.
Yeah,
if you don't have buses, how are you going to deal with it? If a road falls apart, how are you going to deal with it? You can't just say, let's, you know, in the fullness of time, we're going to get around to it because this is what we're doing. Because we heard about a new hospital. We heard about all sorts of things that
how do you deal with the emergency? Somebody sent a message this morning asking, are we going to have a proper ambulance service and well-maintained ambulances? Good questions.
I heard something about a fund being set aside to build up to look after emergencies. I think I remember something to that effect.
Yeah.
But I will just give you some bullet points, quickly. Like for example, I'd like to see better use of the St. John Polyclinic.
Mm-hmm.
I would like what are your feelings on the currency of trade? I would like to see.
Yes,
I believe
you know me on that one. I think we need one. And that's why I told the first caller, separate.
Regarding that?
Yes, we did. We had an exchange on that. Because that's why I told the first caller, we have to distinguish foreign debt from local debt and how we manage both. Because there is debt is debt, yes. But there's a component that we have to take out and manage it differently. And trade is going to be crucial. And the currency of trade.
Yeah, and the also the taxes at the airport, departure tax, have that be in the U.S. currency coming direct into the person as opposed to being paid in Barbados dollars. That's one of the things I think could help. Cambios, perhaps.
Well,
I know they're allowing for. Hmm?
I had a chat with the outgoing president of the Barbados Chamber of Commerce, and he said one of the proposals they had put to the previous administration was allowing Bridgetown to become a duty-free port where locals can purchase things with foreign currency.
Absolutely.
To increase he said nothing, it was accepted in principle, but again, implementation, we wait.
But then I said, new ways, look, there are new ways that we can approach this stuff and really make a difference. And what's the quote from the what many hands make
light work. Yeah.
That's it.
If the hands working together, yeah.
Yeah, and this is a point of view from a logical standpoint. This is no political. I have no political reason to say. All I'm saying is my God-given intelligence has caused me to speak in the manner in which I'm speaking, and I know I'm speaking in an intelligent manner. Take care, my brother.
I thank you for that compliment, sir. This is Dr. Brass Tacks.